Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Caitlin Studi, who is the owner and creative director of South Street and Company. She started the company as a side hustle after helping her prior company, a local dermatology practice, double in size in 2.5 years she was there. Now, 6 years later, her and her team are specializing in helping small to medium-sized businesses grow their reach online. So today we're going to be discussing Caitlin's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Caitlin.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes, I'm very excited to have you with us. So let's dive in. And to get started, we'll just ask you a few questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I get really inspired by other people's stories. So when I need an extra dose of inspiration or motivation, Michael Jordan is someone who I just keep in the back of my mind. And I also watch there's some YouTube videos that they combined of all of the amazing things that he did. So that's really inspirational. But also a motivation is surrounding yourself with great people and being able to relate and rely on them for great advice. And then also seeing what other people are doing, including competitors. I mean, if you look at your competition and they're killing it, you're like, oh, dang, okay, I need to step up my game. But also, I feel like you can get inspiration from anywhere too, like TikTok, Pinterest, quotes. So kind of all of the above.
Yeah. No, YouTube is such a great resource for inspiration. There's so many great bios that you can read there and just, you know, mm-hmm. people giving like really great pep talks that just kind of, you know, you get to work after you listen to them. So I love that. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing?
So as you heard, I worked at a local dermatology group. So I'm in the Central Florida area and I went to the University of Central Florida, studied marketing, and my parents joked and said that I was a professional interviewer because in the real world, sales and marketing are kind of advertised as the same thing. So I applied for all of these marketing jobs, but a lot of them are cold calling, you know, 150 people a day, and that's awesome. But I really wanted to do the marketing aspect as opposed to sales. So I got a job off of Craigslist. That was my first job out of college with this dermatology group. And they hadn't updated their logo in forever. They had been in business already for 10 years and it was just not memorable. So I helped them rebrand their whole logo. In the first 6 months, we rebuilt their website and gave them kind of a brand identity. And then the other half was going out and meeting people who did refer or who could refer to the dermatology group. So kind of like a marketing liaison / digital marketing person. Mm-hmm. And in school, so I graduated in 2012, 10 years ago this year, which is nuts. So literally probably like 10 years ago to like this month that we're recording this, which is so crazy. So, you know, that was when Facebook was just becoming a place that wasn't only inclusive to college students. And there were a lot of new things like search engine optimization was kind of like gaining momentum. This was when websites were like something that you kind of needed to have at this point. Mm-hmm. So in school, we didn't really learn a ton about social media marketing because that really was just becoming a thing, which is kind of so crazy to think about now because it's in our daily lives so much.
Yeah.
But I just read a ton of articles. The doctor in charge kind of let me like do my own thing. And he said, I'm open to this and I don't want to do this. So don't even ask me about it. I was like, okay, no problem. So I really got to do a lot of trial and error with that company. And then I just felt like I reached a plateau there and felt like I could do digital marketing for other businesses. And my first client was in February 2014, and it was with a family friend, and she referred me to my next one. And then kind of the catalyst for me was joining a daytime networking group, like a leads group, mm-hmm. and they started trusting me. And it took me a little bit over a year to leave that job. And I remember the day that I put in my notice, I was so nervous. And I sat down with a doctor and he was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just need to tell you this. And like, I need to get it over with." And so I was thinking, all right, well, he's either going to fire me now, but we had a great relationship, so I was hoping that wouldn't happen. Or he would say, "Okay, well, you can work 2 weeks." But actually a third option happened. And after I told him that I wasn't going to a competitor and I wasn't doing anything in the industry, that I was starting my own company, he sat back in his chair and said, "Well, why don't we become your first big client?" And he ended up hiring me through my new company for a year. And I was just so grateful. Awesome. Yeah, for that support. So really, that was the start of me getting into digital marketing. And now we focus on service-based companies, and we do websites, social media, SEO. Really, our bread and butter is coming up with that strategy for their growth and for meeting their goals.
Very good. So, you know, in those early days when you first started out with South Street and Company, what were some big challenges that you had to overcome?
Time. I haven't figured out how to duplicate myself or clone myself. So time management was like something that I still have to work on time management because everything always changes. But obstacles back then, I mean, I feel like it was finding clients. I really feel like I had to watch my bank account like a hawk until year three, because I would just be thinking like, okay, do I have to, you know, move money over to make payroll? Do I have to, you know, wait to pay this bill in order to have enough money? So it took me around 3 years where people finally realized, okay, this company is here to stay. She's not working out of the back of her car. It's a legitimate company. And I started getting recognized around the community and people had heard of me. So that was a challenge in the beginning, just people believing in me and hiring me. But once I sat down with them and they understood my passion for it and that I really knew what I was talking about, it got easier from there.
Very good. And then, so how do you really differentiate yourselves from other agencies? Because it's really, it's quite a saturated market nowadays.
Yeah, it is a saturated market, but I think that there are a lot of agencies, but a lot of agencies do a lot of different things. And we work with some strategic partners that are agencies and that do like hyper niche things that we don't really do. So, but I think the number one differentiator for us is we walk the walk and we talk the talk. So if you look at our website, it's a great representation of what we do. Our social media sites are updated. If you Google small business marketing agency in Orlando, where our headquarters are, we'll come up on the first page of Google. We actively work on our Google reviews, our Google business profile is updated. And these are all of the things that we tell our clients to do and that we take over for our clients as well. So being proactive and creating a great image for us, because I think that if you're hiring a marketing agency, you want to see what they can do. And if they're not promoting themselves, then you know, maybe that's not a good fit for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you mentioned that, you know, time management was something that was, you know, a challenge in the early days. Is that still something that you struggle with a little bit?
Yeah, I would say it's always something, because there's only, I mean, you know, there's that quote, Beyonce has the same 24 hours in a day that you do. And I'm like, dang, okay, challenge accepted. But, you know, you plan out your day and then all of a sudden there's a fire over here and, you know, there's something else that popped up over there. So it's always about harmony. It's about just working through things. And what I started doing is putting top priority items on my list. So our project management tool that we use is Asana, and mm-hmm. I started putting emojis just to make it more fun in front of all of my tasks. And so if I have that little red circle emoji, I'm like, okay, this is top priority. This is what I need to get done during the day. So I'm still working through all of that. And I think another thing too is just I've been surrounding myself with such amazing people on my team, knowing that I can rely on them and just kind of like letting them do what I hired them to do has also been really great in helping me focus on time management and also not working, you know, 12-hour days, because that's not sustainable for the long time, for the long term.
No, it's not. You definitely have to take care of yourself and yeah, definitely be strategically placing your energy in places where it's going to really move the needle at the end of the day, so you don't burn yourself out.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
There's a program for that. Just like everyone says, there's an app for that. There's a program for that. I can't tell you how many things I did manually. And I realized like invoicing is the perfect example. I use an invoicing software now that's incredible. And we do all, the majority, like 90% of our work, 90 to 95% of our work is based on strategy and it's monthly recurring. Okay. So we do recurring strategies monthly for clients. And in the beginning, I was creating a Word document, putting the price on there, downloading it as a PDF, saving it on an Excel sheet, emailing it to them, following up with them. They would send a check in the mail. I'd have to update the Excel sheet. It was a nightmare to bill people. And yeah. I was actually listening to a podcast and they advertised this company. And I was like, okay, well, that's pretty affordable. I think it was like $25 to sign up each month. And then I added the automatic recurring billing and that totally saved me so much time. So, also project management software, the one that we use is Asana. It's incredible. That's where all of our team knows, okay, this is our client. This is what we need to get done. Here are our deadlines for that. But there are so many amazing programs out there that can help you streamline so much more. But the problem when you start is you don't know what you don't know. And that's why coaches and mentors were so monumental for me. And I still have, I'm in a peer group now for agencies. I have a business coach. I have a team of advisors. And I also rely on my team because sometimes I feel like I'm so in it on the day to day that I missed really basic things that we could do to help us and to help our organization.
Yeah, I think it's so important as an agency owner to really be receptive to just learning what's out there. Because like you said, you don't know what you don't know. So definitely keeping an open mind, you know, learning about different types of software, because if it can help save you time and make your life easier at the end of the day, it's so worth it.
So worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to pick your brain a little bit on sales. So how are you consistently bringing new leads into your agency and then closing those prospects?
We have done a ton with our search engine optimization. So we are very fortunate to have a lot of inbound leads from people searching us and finding us on Google. And also I mentioned before that we actively ask for reviews based on clients' experiences. So we have 102 Google reviews right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And we also have put a ton of time and effort into our SEO strategy. So we're putting out 2 pieces of content per week for our agency alone. So we look at our agency as a client. So we're updating LinkedIn, updating, you know, all of the other accounts, but also we're writing SEO content each week and posting it actively. So our sales process starts with an initial 30-minute call. That's to get information, talk about goals, competition, what their needs are, if they don't know their needs. Then sometimes I can get through this instead of having a second meeting, but if we need to, have a second 45-minute meeting or so, and then we move into the proposal meeting. So in between that second meeting and or initial call, whichever, and the proposal meeting, we do a ton of research on competition. We look to see what they're doing for social, what other people are doing for social, and we put together a tailored strategy for them with 3 separate plans. And then we walk through that in a Zoom proposal meeting and then send that over to the client afterwards. And that, just having that sales process and that organization has been so great because we know what our conversion rate is. We know how many people we need to talk to in order to accomplish that. And then after that, you try to get people to make a decision there, but sometimes the decision makers aren't available because you're talking with the marketing person and they need to get back to you. So going back to Asana, I have a whole pipeline set up in Asana with the different processes of where we are. And I put follow-up tasks on there, update the original task. But one thing that was a huge help for me that I just started doing 2 weeks ago, and I have no idea why I didn't think about this before, but it's like, that's why you talk to mentors and coaches. I started having my management team help me doing research for the proposals and coming up with ideas. And I was blown away by the ideas that they came up with. It was incredible.
That's awesome.
I was like, holy cow. Yeah, I wouldn't have come up with this idea because they're in it in the day to day and they're reviewing everything and doing research and just bringing ideas to the table. I was like, wow. So anyone who's doing the proposals themselves or has a sales team, you might want to integrate your content people or at least content managers in on that. They mm-hmm. don't necessarily have to know the final price of everything, but in that kind of discovery research phase, putting together ideas, because at the end of the day, they're going to be executing it. So they have to believe it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you nurture those individuals in your pipeline who might just, you know, not quite be ready to buy or they're on the tipping point? How are you nurturing those relationships?
Yeah, after every phone call or email with them, I say, okay, then when should I follow up with you? Or if they're like, oh, you know, I'll probably be done. You know, if they say, oh, we went with another person for launching our website, but we want to talk to you about monthly marketing. I ask them more questions. Okay, when's the website going to launch? What does that look like? And then I'll put a follow-up on my list to reach out to them. So going back to the emojis, I use the little target emoji. So that's how I know that it's a sales follow-up. And then that also helps. I'm a very visual person. So it just makes my to-do list more fun when I have little emojis with everything. But yeah. Also I can scroll through for the day and say, okay, I have a lot of follow-ups I need to do because I see all of those emojis. So I'm always proactive about saying, okay, I'm going to follow up with you in 2 weeks. Does that sound good? And they say, you know, yes or no. And then I follow up with them then. I can't. So actually, regarding sales, I had someone who I'm hoping to hear back from tomorrow, but I had a proposal meeting with him last week. And in our initial call, I asked him how many other marketing agencies they were talking with. And he said that he reached out to 10 and only 2 people got back to him. And we were one of those 2.
No way. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he called them, he filled out forms, but he reached out to 10 that he just looked on Google for. Mm-hmm. And our company and another company reached out to him. And the other thing that he said that I thought was really great was that the other company just sent them the proposal and didn't take time to explain it or set up a meeting. And that's cool. And a lot of people do that. But I think about it as though, you know, if I'm hiring someone to take over the marketing of my company or to do anything that where they're speaking on behalf of me or I'm going to be paying, you know, thousands of dollars each month, this is not my forte. So probably I don't understand the full extent of the proposal. So I think for me personally, I would want someone to say, hey, this is what this means. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions? Because a lot of times they're taking it back and pitching it to their team. So I want to take time to explain and go over everything to make sure they don't have questions. And then after the proposal meeting, then I send that to them.
Yeah. Interesting. So how big is your team?
We have 10 people.
Okay, awesome. So is your job primarily, you know, bringing in all of the sales, or do you have designated salespeople on your team as well?
We don't have any designated salespeople. That's actually an action item on my list to start looking into that. So because that is a bottleneck that I'm doing right now, all of those initial calls and that whole process, but helping to bring in my team to do research and come up with more of a strategy has been a huge help. So that's something that's on my to-do list to look into.
Yeah, it's so common, right? But what has been, you know, if you have just any, you know, helpful tidbits of advice related to sales, is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners?
Do what you say you're going to do. So many people don't. They say they're going to follow up and they don't, and it gets lost. And listen, everyone's so busy and people are so inundated. I mean, we get like probably 1 to 2 calls a week saying that, like, or emails like, hey, we can help you with your SEO. Hey, we can help you with your Google business profile. And it's like, okay, but we do that. So how many emails are these potential new clients that you're pitching getting? So I would say, this goes back to just saying what you do, doing what you say you're going to do, but also just answer the phone and respond to emails. Because I've had multiple people, when we answer the phone, they think that it's a robot and they're like, hello, is this a human? I'm like, yes. How can we help you? Thanks for calling. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't get a hold of anyone. Wow. And that's not the first time that we've heard of that. So we're really focused on customer success and just customer relationships and growing that and then growing the company too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on a really good point as well, you know, the follow-up, because, you know, I think, what do they say? It takes like, you know, five, 5 to 12 times, I think, to follow up to actually like close a sale. So
yeah,
the follow-up is so important.
Yeah, it's so important. And that's what I feel, what do they say? Yeah, the fortune is in the follow-up. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Because you have to follow up so many times and people get busy and things come up and things change. And I always tell my team, the proof is, you know how they say the proof is in the pudding? Well, the proof is in the payment. So nothing gets done until we get the payment and everything is the kickoff meeting set up. Because yeah, you can send over those agreements and get your hopes up, but something might change.
Yeah, absolutely. So what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
I think it's just finding that balance of, because you don't want to have too many people on your team and not enough work, but you also don't want to have too much work and not enough people. So it's constantly seeing, okay, who can take on more work? Are we at maximum capacity? Do we need to bring on another person? That's been the balance that I've always had to just maintain. And that's always been a challenge because you don't want people to burn out, but you also don't want people to be unmotivated because they don't have enough work. So it's always finding that kind of harmony and balance.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. So where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
I see myself taking a step back from being in the day-to-day, and I've been able to do that a little bit more, which is great. But just having a really amazing management team that I know I can rely on. We're helping a lot of incredible clients with really great goals, and we're continuing to build out departments. So I want to have a social media department, an SEO department, an account management department, maybe a sales department, maybe an ads department. So I'd love to have different departments with 2 to 3 people in each and a manager managing them. And it's really exciting because that's where we're headed. And we do have those, but they're bigger buckets. There, we have a content team and then we have an account management team. So I'd like to get just more strategic with breaking those out even more, but that's where I see myself. And then also just continuing to help clients but going after clients with multiple locations, with more spend, and helping them continue to grow.
Very cool. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up, but first we have the fast 5, which are 5 rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
It is by Jen. I pronounced her name wrong. I thought it was Jen Sincero, but it's Jen Sincero, and it's You Are a Badass. That made a huge impact on me, and that told me to get a business coach.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
It varies. I've been working a lot on affirmations. So writing affirmations in the morning, Tuesdays and Fridays. I don't start work until 10 because from 8:15 to 9:15, I do a morning workout, and that's kind of my time. And the last couple weeks I've been ending it with a meditation, but sometimes it could start with meditation, but I'm an early bird. So I get up early, do that, start looking at my to-do list for the day. I try not to check in on emails until a little bit later, and then we use Slack as well, so checking in on that.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I just think Sarah Blakely from Spanx is pretty incredible with everything that she's built. I mean, she's a female billionaire, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. I also really love Shark Tank, so I follow Damon John a lot too. He has on his LinkedIn, he's very, very active. So I would say both of those are pretty incredible people that inspire me.
Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
There are so many. I just don't know how to choose this. So I'm just going to give you like 3. Okay. For website design, it's Markup. For content and review feedback, it's FileStage. For communication, it's Slack. And for automation, this is how I've kind of like duplicated myself without science. It's through Zapier, which is an automation platform.
Yes. Love it. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
To trust my gut. You have that gut feeling, and it's probably the harder thing to do, but when something isn't working out, or if you know that you're not 100% sure if you should hire that person, you shouldn't hire that person. I wish I would have trusted my gut more, but I was like, oh, well, no, like it'll be fine. They'll learn. No, you just need to trust your gut or know that something's not a good fit or that you shouldn't move forward. Mm-hmm. That's what I wish I would have listened to more.
Yeah, that's great advice. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Caitlin. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was so great.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.